Hey, it's Mike Halford from the Halford and Abruff podcast. First, thank you for downloading and listening. We really appreciate it. Two, enjoy whatever silliness is about to ensue. In case you missed it earlier today, Jack Eichel, the trade is Finn. Done. It's final.
The Canucks have traded Finn.
Don't. You start rumors about Finn.
He was getting old. He's on a big contract.
It's true. It was a real whale of a contract.
All right.
Jack Eichel is now a member of the Vegas Golden Knights. That deal was consummated earlier this morning. The details. Peyton Krebs, the most highly touted prospect reigning in the Vegas cupboard. And they didn't have many because they'd traded so many already. He goes to Buffalo. Alex Tuck goes to Buffalo, along with a protected first-round pick and another pick as well. So the thing is, of all the guys involved in this trade, the only one that might make an impact within the next couple months is Peyton Krebs. Doesn't seem like Alex Tuck is anywhere close to being able to contribute to the Buffalo Sabres. He's out till January. And Jack Eichel, of course, needs to undergo artificial disc replacement surgery to correct his neck and spine.
Krebs hasn't done much in the NHL this year. He's played 9 games, 0 points. I wonder if he just needs more time in the AHL. Or I guess he's just going to get an opportunity in Buffalo to prove himself. You gotta appreciate what Buffalo might have down the middle going forward now. If Peyton Krebs can be a player for them. Dylan Cousins as well. I don't know about Casey Mittelstadt. But this was a team that originally thought it had struck gold with Jack Eichel and Ryan O'Reilly down the middle. Didn't work out.
And we have a programming update here on the Halford and Brough Show on Sportsnet 650. Dan Murphy is still going to join us, as expected. Elliot Friedman is going to join us after Kevin Adams' press conference. The Buffalo Sabres general manager is speaking live now, so we'll talk to Murph, and then after that, we'll talk to Friedge. Joining us now on the line, a presentation of Freeway Mazda, Dan Murphy, here on the Halford and Brough Show on Sportsnet 650. What up, Murph?
What's going on, boys? Does that mean I get to go short?
Yes. So let's get all the good stuff out of the way right now. Just start talking about the Canucks. Anything you want to say? Not even a question.
No, let's ask Murph about the Jack Eichel trade. How big a win is it for Vegas if you like the deal for them?
Well, I mean, if Jack Eichel can get back to being healthy and back to the player he was after the surgery that he gets, I think it's a big win for Vegas. I don't think the haul was that massive, not after we saw the rumored Calgary trade, last evening. As probably people have already guessed, maybe that was leaked. I think probably the surprise was Tkachuk, but I don't think he's re-signed there after he accepts his qualifying offer. I mean, I think most people believe that. But, you know, Peyton Krebs is a very, very good prospect. They're going to get a protected first and a second. So, I think it's a solid haul, but I think probably Eichel's injury muddied things up a little bit here because this guy is a legitimate, before he was hurt, top five center in the league, I would say. Maybe better than that in terms of what he does, 5-on-5 and on the power play. So I think for Vegas, who are obviously in big-time win-now mode, I don't know how many their first-round picks they've selected are left in the system, but I think it seems like a win on the surface, but they still got to get there, and they got to hope he's healthy for the playoffs.
Do you think the Flames will still try and upgrade the center position, or are they going to be happy with Lindholm and I suppose Backlund as their 2C?
Well, I mean, I think probably the start they've gotten off to has made Treliving probably think things over a little bit more. I mean, Lindholm's had a great start. I think the team overall has been fantastic. Their underlying numbers are great. The defense is better than most people thought. The four lines seem really balanced. They've been dominating play. So maybe that has made him rethink things because they too are in win now mode, right? With the core that they have. So, I mean, I think Lindholm is a fine center, but this is a team that I don't know when they had a number one center. I mean, I don't think they ever had one for Iggy.
Neuendijk, we were discussing that. That might have been, might have been the last legit 1C.
The guy they traded for Iggy. So, mm-hmm. I think that probably if you saw them in on Eichel, they're going to be looking to upgrade that first line center if they think this is a year that they can really contend.
We're speaking to Dan Murphy from Sportsnet here on the Halford and Brough Show on Sportsnet 650. Dan, let's turn our attention to the Vancouver Canucks. So a day off yesterday following the very exciting, very emotional, very dramatic win over the Rangers. Canucks are back today. They practiced at 11:15. Media availability is going to be around 12:15. And then everything kind of looks ahead to the remainder of this road trip. It's amazing what one win can do, because after the first three losses, I know this is hard to believe, but we were somewhat negative in our approaches towards the team because, you know, you lose three games at home to start a homestand of this nature. But now, Jason and I are saying, you could turn this thing right around, because after beating the Rangers, you've got, we like to call them winnable games. Not mm-hmm. that every game isn't winnable, but you've got...
Every game is losable, too.
That's true. That is true. Very important to point out. You've got Nashville, you've got Dallas. These next two games, if you look at the opponents, they don't exactly light up the scoreboard. I know Nashville had won four straight prior to losing yesterday in Edmonton. Dallas really struggles to score, so you're looking at it and you're saying, I don't want to get too far ahead of myself, but the three losses to start the homestand could easily be corrected because you beat the Rangers and now you've got a Nashville team you can beat and a Dallas team you can beat.
Yeah, I think both of those teams are, you know, you look at them and say, what are those teams? Maybe they're in the muddy middle, and maybe Vancouver is right in there too when you talk about it. But certainly Nashville, I think, is a pretty defensive team. Their top line is not all that scary. And then you've got Dallas that struggles to score and has some, you know, underlying numbers are very poor this season. So I would say yes, no doubt. I just am very interested to see how Travis Green, his lines look today. I kind of hope that Garland gets a look with Pettersson after what transpired in the third period against the Rangers. I think the number one priority right now for this team is to get Pettersson going, to see if they can get him going at top speed. And it certainly looked like Garland helped with him in the third period. So I would agree these are winnable games too. But you know, after two periods, things were down in Rogers Arena. I'm up there in level 400. And in the 300 level seating, there was some chance to fire the coach. I saw some chance to, or heard some chance to fire the GM. Not that they gained a ton of traction, but they were there. And that's how on edge the fans were. That's what the temperature was until early in the third, and they scored that goal, and the building kind of came alive in their favor. So, you know, if they win these next couple of games, you know, the players will feel really good about themselves if they aren't already just from that comeback win. But I wouldn't say that I'm not going to be guaranteeing victories for Vancouver at this point, just considering the way they played the first two periods the other night.
Does the level that McDavid's playing at and now the addition of Jack Eichel to the Pacific Division just heap on more pressure for Elias Pettersson?
Oh, probably. I mean, but there's enough there already. I mean, McDavid's on another level. I guess Drysdale is as well. But, you know, I, like I said, before the injury, Eichel was elite. And he was one of the best play drivers in the league. He was one of the best power play specialists in the league. So for Elias, if Elias is going at top speed, you know, I don't think anybody's can say he's as good as McDavid. It's just, I mean, nobody is.
No, nobody ever has been, maybe.
Yeah, you know, I don't think anybody's done what he can do. And I would, you know, Eichel is, you know, a step ahead of him too, but not that far ahead if Pettersson is playing up to his capabilities and at his top speed. So, you know, you look at the center position in the Pacific and, you know, some teams... You know, like Kopitar is still there, but he's obviously a little bit older. Byfield's coming along when he comes back from injury. So I think the center position in this division is once again near the top of the league. And, you know, it all starts with McDavid, but adding Eichel is certainly problematic for the other teams.
Back to something that you said earlier as it pertains to Elias Pettersson. Jason and I talked about this briefly yesterday. I think we also hope that Garland sticks with Pettersson because we liked what we saw from that trio, and I feel like
we saw a goal,
yeah, which was great. There was a rarity, to be honest. I had to blink a couple times, but I think the key now is if you've got somebody going or somebody's going, because obviously Garland's found his offensive touch early, and JT Miller, he talked about breaking out of the slump and hope that he could drag other people along with him. I feel like at this point, it's like if you've got two guys that are going and are finding the back of the net, put them with the guy that is struggling with maybe confidence and maybe making plays, and just keep it simple, stupid. Like, get that line. The line looked good. Yeah. They produced. Let's not mess this up. Let's give them another chance at it.
Especially when one of those, the guy that's struggling is your most important offensive player. I mean, let's be real here. You need to get Pettersson going. If you have any hopes of making the playoffs, this guy has to be one of your best offensive players. And I think he was better against the Rangers. I think he looked, the last couple of games, it looks like he's made strides in the right direction, but he's still not the same guy we've seen in his first few years in the league. So I'm with you. I think you have to put Garland with him. And it's kind of funny that I think Vancouver, aside from Demko, have Vancouver's two best players this season been the two guys they got from Arizona?
Possibly.
Yeah, I think so.
Yeah.
Garland and OEL. I think that's the whole weird thing about this season. Yeah. It's like, if you would have told me that Garland was playing this well, and especially if you would have told me that Ekman Larson was playing well, and oh yeah, they've been getting great goaltending, I'd be like, ah, oh,
they must
awesome.
Be, they must be,
they
first
must be amazing. Yeah.
They're 7-2-1. No. So, yeah, I mean, I think that you're exactly right. You need to find a way to get Pettersson going at this point. There's been, you know, I don't want to say flashes, but it looks like he's made strides. But they need this guy going at top speed. And if that means taking Besser and moving him down to Horvat, where they had some initial chemistry a couple seasons ago, I know the numbers together haven't been that great since. But at this point, I'm willing to sacrifice Bozo to get Pettersson going, and I think I hope Green feels the same way.
Murph, thanks a lot for doing this today, bud. We appreciate it. Enjoy the rest of today. We'll do this again next week.
All right, lads. Have a great one.
You too. Thanks. Dan Murphy on Sportsnet 650 was brought to you by Freeway Mazda, Canada's number one consumer-rated Mazda dealer. The hits just keep on rolling here at the Halford and Brough Show on Sportsnet 650. We go right back to the phone lines. Joining us now, Elliot Friedman, Freege, Sportsnet's very own, on the Halford and Brough Show on Sportsnet 650. Good morning, Elliot. How are you?
I feel like coming on like Joe Pesci from My Cousin Vinny. Everything that guy just said was BS.
Just ignore the previous 15 minutes of radio and focus on what's to come. Elliot Friedman has just listened to the Kevin Adams presser from Buffalo. Of course, if anybody has missed it and they're tuning in right now, Jack Eichel was traded from the Buffalo Sabres to the Vegas Golden Knights this morning. Friedge, we didn't get a chance to listen to anything Adams had to say, and neither did the listeners. So can you walk us through really, either extensively or whatever, what happened this morning on the call as Kevin Adams addressed the Jack Eichel trade?
Well, I think they, like, Krebs was clearly the key part of this deal.
Okay.
That we had heard that there'd been some arm wrestling over him in the past. They wanted him. They did not want to include him at the Vegas. And I think once Krebs, he didn't come, I don't know if he came right out and said it as much, but it's pretty clear to me that once Krebs kind of got in there, it was headed down that direction. He did deny the report last night about Calgary and Tkachuk. Like, the one thing I really do believe, guys, is I believe Vegas has been the team for the last couple of weeks. I don't know if I would say that. Maybe the last week and a half. I had heard this was going to get done last Thursday or Friday, and they were just wrangling over it. So I think Vegas was the team. And he also did say that that the salary retention or not retaining it was adamant to them. They were never going to budge on that. It was very critical. And you know, that's kind of where we are. They said they had a price and they weren't going to go below that price. And I think that price was Krebs. That was a guy they absolutely wanted.
Is Vegas still going to have to move some salary out?
Well, I think the question's going to be, like, someone, Kelly McCrimmon is supposed to be speaking any time now, so I'm sure he's going to get asked that. But, like, I woke up at 7:30 this morning, and I had a text from 3:05 a.m. saying, you know, this is Eastern time, get working on it, it's coming. And then I had another text from someone saying, I think someone on Vegas is going to develop a hangnail this morning. So, like, you know, like, Eichel's obviously on LTIR, or actually, he can go on LTIR, and there's all these other situations, too. But put it this way, they don't get the deal approved without everybody saying, okay, this can work. So I guess we're gonna have to find out how this is all going to work. But once all these guys start coming back, and I can say it now, we taped an interview with Eichel this morning. He says he's hoping to be back in a little over 3 months.
Okay. So that would, so the Golden Knights would have him for February, March, and April. So the last 3 months of the regular season. Is that correct? Am I doing the math
well,
right?
Well, don't forget there's an Olympic break there. So I don't know how that's going to affect everything. But he's saying he's very hopeful that 3 months is his time.
Elliot, where does this leave the Calgary Flames? Will they just hang their hat on the good start that they've had? Or is Brad Treliving still going to be looking to upgrade his team?
You know, like, I really hate this kind of stuff because then, like, anything you say gets kind of weaponized against the other reporters. And, like, this, like, I do this job. I know what it's like to have people saying you're completely full of it and you're always wrong. So, you know, which I am, like, 95% of the time. So, I'm careful about this, but... Like I said before, I think Vegas was the team, and I think Vegas has been the team for some time now. I do think Calgary was in it. I do think they were interested. I just don't think it ever got close. I think they tried. I think they tried to do things. The Tkachuk thing, I got pushback on that last night from several places. I got told Buffalo brought up his name. But Calgary made it clear they weren't really interested in doing that. I think there were other things that Calgary was willing to do. I just, like especially the way they started the season, if you take Tkachuk out of their lineup and you don't have Eichel for 3 months, and look at the way you started the year. It's not something I think that made a lot of sense for them. So do I think Tkachuk was asked about? Yes. I just don't know if it, like, I don't think it was ever serious with him. But I do think Calgary was very serious about it. Like, that I completely believe to be true.
Do you anticipate any reverberations from this? Because we've seen it before where a trade gets blown up in that regard and names are put out there and then ultimately not dealt. Because, again, we've pointed out a couple things with Tkachuk, as you well know. There's the $9 million qualifying offer that needs to happen at the end of the year. There was talk earlier about whether he's going to be long for Calgary or not. And again, you brought up a good point. They have a good thing going right now. Like, they don't want anything to derail this train. I'm just curious about it because that set social media ablaze last night when all that hit. That, oh, yeah. Now Calgary's in the mix.
Yeah, well, Calgary was always in the mix, guys. I just don't think it was for that. Like, I don't know if I'll ever get clarity on what it was, but until yesterday, like, I personally, and again, I'm not always right. Like, I don't want to be held up as, or even try to think I'm portraying myself as the arbitrator of, well, this is true and this isn't.
Right.
But, like, I never heard Tkachuk's name until yesterday. Like, that one shocked me. But, like, you know, like, so I just think that, look, winning cures all evils. And, you know, right now Calgary's got a good thing going. Whatever happens with Tkachuk is going to happen. They'll sort it out. But right now they're just in a really good place. You know, I'll tell you this. I would have no doubt there were phone calls last night between, like, various GMs and people saying, like, seriously, like, what the hell? Like, who's talking about what? Like, I know there have been times I've reported things, and a GM will call me and say, you know, thanks a lot. I just got my ass chewed out last night. So, like, I have no doubt something like that probably occurred.
So, Elliot, who's the next Jack Eichel now? Who do we speculate about being traded? Can you add some names, and then you can get radioed?
Yeah, you know, I'm good. I'm used to that. I'm trying to think, like, you know, like Dylan Strome, I think it would be a name. There's nobody on Eichel's level, right?
Mm-hmm.
Well,
Hurdle's got to be the next guy, right?
Yeah, but you know, like, if they, like I said, guys, like, winning is... Like, look at them now. Like,
yeah.
Like, I think a lot of us thought they were going to be terrible, and they're there, right? Like, they're in the race. And, you know, who knows, like, who knows if that continues, but winning changes things. Like, you know, it's like one guy told me once, I can't remember the exact quote, like, your food tastes better, your drink tastes better, your wife looks better when you're winning, right? Like, that was his, I can't remember who told me that, but that was his line.
Right.
And, like, if it's going like that in San Jose, do you guys really see Hurdle leaving?
No, I don't know where his stance is at. Because, I mean, the one thing I think that was a hang-up, and this doesn't go for Hurdle, but the entire team, was the Evander Kane shadow that he cast over the entire organization. great player on the ice, just so a litany of problems off it. Now that that's been removed, it does kind of become interesting because, you know, traditionally, San Jose has always been a place where guys want to stay. They want to be there. They have guys that stay there forever. And I don't blame them. I mean, it's awesome. The area is great, and the team is traditionally pretty competitive. So from that regard, I could see him wanting to stay. But there is this movement across the NHL with younger guys where when you get a chance to go to free agency and test those waters, you might want to try and do it because there's an awful lot of money out there.
Well, I don't argue with that. I just, like right now, to me, everything in San Jose has changed. It used to be like, I agree with you. I think there was a time where this summer, this off season, where, like, I think the idea was that Hurdle was going to be out there on the free agent market, or San Jose was going to trade him because they knew they couldn't keep him. Like, if it keeps going the way this is going, I think you've got to consider that he's going to end up staying.
Frege, want to thank you for doing this today, man. We really appreciate it. I know you got a busy day ahead, and I know Kelly McCrimmon's going to talk so soon. So go take care of that, and hopefully we can do this again later on down the road.
All right, guys. Have a great day.
Thanks, you too. Elliot. Thanks. Thanks, Frege. That's Elliot Friedman here on the Helford and Brough Show on Sportsnet 650.
All right, let's regroup. We'll take a break, and then the final half hour of the Helford and Brough Show will be all what we learns. Text in your What We Learns into the Dunbar Lumber text line at 650-650. It's the smart alternative. Visit Dunbar Lumber on Bridge Street in Ladner or Arbutus in Vancouver, online at dunbarlumber.com. We need more What We Learns. We have a few. We don't have enough. Lots of news out there about Jack Eichel, Aaron Rodgers. Text 650-650. The official financial sponsor of Halford & Brough is ZLC Financial. Did you like how I engaged in that conversation?
I'm glad that you moved on.
It's your one-stop solution for all your financial and retirement needs in Vancouver. To learn more, visit ZLC.net. And remember, advice is only as good as the person you ask. For example, if you were to ask Halford for advice, not so good.
No. I will say this. I want to give everyone a glimpse behind the curtain as to how the Helford and Brough Show works and why we're kind of scatterbrained at times and we jump from topic to topic. It's because we get weirdly focused on things. So, for example, we had a What We Learned come in at the break, and it said that the Vegas Golden Knights had added a fourth former NHL captain to the team in Jack Eichel. And we're racking our brains. We're like, fourth? Because Mark Stone's their captain right now.
Yeah, Patches for sure, Petro and St. Louis. But Mark Stone was never the captain in Ottawa.
Right. So we were digging through, and I'm looking, and I'm like, no. It went Alfie, it went Spezza. And when Carlson, we spent the entire break talking about this. And then I looked up and I'm like, oh, we're back from commercial. That's how our minds work. You're just along for the ride. It's colorful. There's a lot of highs and lows. It gets foggy at times. Speaking of foggy minds, someone sent a What We Learned and wanted to know why Dom was so quiet today.
Dom isn't well this morning. He's very tired. I keep on looking over at him and all I see is just like a big yawn.
Yeah.
It's probably partly due to the content on the show, but also
possibly.
I don't think Dom is sleeping very well.
You're not sleeping well, are you, Dom?
What awesome. We learned.
Let's have a moment here.
What we learned, working a morning shift from 6 to 9, nice, is hard to sleep for.
Talk to me, bro. Were you tossing and turning last night?
I was. I don't know why. I kept thinking about Dune, the movie.
You went to see it last
night. Do you ever do that, Jason, where you go to watch a movie and then you come home and then you're trying to sleep, but all you can think about is plot lines?
I did when I was a child. I was especially rattled by E.T., for example.
Okay, but now that you're a grown-up.
I usually put it out of my mind.
For example, Parasite was a movie that stuck with a lot of people.
Yeah.
Because of the content, and it was very, it was very powerful as a film. There was a lot going on.
Have you seen it?
No.
Figured. Yeah. You're just BSing right now, aren't you, Mike?
Did you think about Parasite after you left the theater? Or did you just be like, that was a good movie, and I'm going to go get some McDonald's?
Yeah, I think the latter probably.
Yeah, okay.
Yeah.
All right. Anyway, how many...
There's so much dark stuff out there right now that...
It's true.
It doesn't really rattle me anymore.
You're desensitized.
I actually had a thought the other day because I was going through my list on Netflix, and I'm like, this is all really dark, dreary stuff.
Yeah. It's weird that you would be drawn to that.
And I haven't watched the second season of Ted Lasso. Does it get dark?
Yeah.
Turns out Ted, serial killer.
Yeah.
The whole time. We didn't know it.
He buries them at the football grounds. How many, as we put a bow on this conversation, how many hours, or is it down to minutes, do you think you actually physically slept last night?
Four
minutes? That's rough. 4 hours. Yeah, that's tough.
Hopefully, yeah.
Okay. Well, Godspeed to you. We're almost out of here. Let's, we're not going to do the music. We're just going to get right into what we learns. Dom, why don't you do yours first, and then I'll do mine.
What we learned, arguably the greatest Slovak hockey player of all time, one of them anyway, Marian Gaborik officially retiring.
I love this.
Today.
So Marian Gaborik hasn't played in the NHL in 3 years.
Yeah.
But because of his contract.
Coasting on LTIR.
Because of his contract, he retired today. He hasn't played. He played with Ottawa, which I totally forgot about.
Guys, I was trying to come back, honest.
Yeah. Oh, man. I guess it's time for me to call it a day. I will not be playing hockey any longer. Like, this is one of the worst things about the modern NHL is all these big egregious contracts that guys have to like pretend that they're not retired.
I also just realized two of them are Slovak.
Yeah, they had to put his the ceremony on ice. They were going to do it, I think, this week. Yeah. And then
he was like, hey, guys, I noticed you've been having some bad publicity.
You know what? I'm just going to stay in Slovakia for a little while.
Good,
we can do this
good,
later.
Thanks.
Yeah.
Don't
let's
you have
do
a
this
skin
later.
Condition?
He had a rash.
He had a rash.
I bet he's got over it, though. But no, for the purposes of his contract, he probably still has it.
All right, you have a Mukal that.
Mukal that. Okay, I got a what we learned from yesterday from the NBA on TNT. I just want to play the clip because I think it's funny. There's about 18 different stories that have come from it, and I feel like we should address it because we don't talk enough basketball on the show. So yesterday, for those that don't know, New Orleans Pelicans, that's a weird one to say because it's got the S on the end of it. New Orleans Pelicans forward Zion Williamson is out injured right now. And the NBA on TNT guys, including Chuck and Shaq, saw a video of Zion doing like a shuffle drill across the paint, right? And they noticed something about Zion's physical appearance that they thought they should bring up on the air. So I'm going to play the first part of this clip right now.
They noticed that he was not thin.
So here's Charles Barkley and Shaquille O'Neal talking about Zion Williamson.
Chuck, you had a visceral reaction to this.
It looked like me and Shaq had a baby. They gonna do, man. I look like I quit. I gotta get.
Hey, come on, man.
What did it look like, Chuck?
Like, me and you had a baby. God dang. That's too. They eat good in New Orleans.
Word about Chico.
I'm joking.
Okay, drop it, because I want to get to the sex. Okay, so, I mean, there's the whole body and fat shaming thing, which I don't really want to go down that road. I think that part of this is probably been well addressed. I will say it's funny coming from two guys, and here's the important thing, that dealt with the exact same thing when they were playing. They got called out for being overweight. Mm-hmm. So I feel like if you're speaking from experience, yeah, you're poking fun at someone, but it happened to you. So it comes from a place that is very unique, I would
say. It's good intentions, I think.
Because the important...
But also, like, come on.
The important context, though, is that Charles didn't leave it at just
a
cheap shot, right? Here's what he had to say in the second part of the clip.
Moses Malone said to me, he said I was fat and lazy. And I started to cry a little bit.
And really?
Yeah, I did. Because I couldn't kick his ass.
Yeah.
I mean, he was Moses Malone. But it was a turning point in my career. And he's already hurt. You should not get hurt when you're young. And he's already had surgeries on his legs. Now he's got a broken foot. He's going to have to learn, even when you're hurt, you're going to have to control your eating. Because when people say, when guys get hurt, Adam, when they come back, you're trying to get in shape.
Right.
And if you're putting all that stress on your knees and your feet, you're just going to keep getting hurt. Mm. Somebody's got to be a grown person down in that relationship and says, yo, man, you got to get in shape.
And
I know he got.
Now, here's the thing that this is, for me, the most interesting part of this whole thing. Maybe it's because we work in media, but that back and forth, I found it like really interesting to listen to because there was the joke at first, but then there were, what's behind it, right? And Charles Barkley was a guy who, when he broke into the NBA, everyone was like, you're fat. And he said
he looked soft.
Right, and doughy, right?
His nickname was the round mound of rebound.
Right. And Shaq had that throughout his career as well. Now, the interesting part of it is that these guys are willing to go and say that out loud about a guy that they are covering. Mm-hmm. And I say this because TNT, when they got the NHL rights, everyone said, how are you going to be like that? And the honest truth of it is you have to be able to speak unfiltered. And it's never going to happen with the guys that they have on there. They try. God bless them. They try. But could you imagine?
Really? You don't think so?
No. It'll never get to that level.
Haven't they actually gotten pretty good reviews for how much fun that they're going to
have? They're having fun. But the idea was, how do we ever get to that level?
Did you listen to that podcast that I recommended?
Which one?
So it's called In the Steam Room. And I have to thank a listener for texting this in. It's Barkley and Ernie Johnson.
Okay.
So Ernie Johnson just lost his son, by the way. That's a very sad story.
Yeah, I saw that.
But also quite, in some ways, an uplifting story. Anyway, I'm getting
sidetracked.
They had Gretzky on, and you got to listen to it because I have never heard Wayne Gretzky more entertaining and telling such good stories. And he was saying that one of the things that he needed when he agreed to do the NBA on TNT is like
NHL
on TNT was that I need guys on there that know me because I don't want anyone deferring to me just because I'm Wayne Gretzky.
That's like
they
a good
have
point.
To be able to give it to me a little bit.
That's a good point.
Like Wayne Gretzky isn't beyond making fun of. You can make fun of him for his coaching stint in Arizona. You can make fun of him for the fact that he wasn't the biggest guy. He was pretty skinny out there.
Yeah.
He wasn't exactly the toughest hockey player to ever play. There are things that you can make
That's
fun
a great
of
point.
Wayne Gretzky
That's
for.
A great point because he's held in such reverence and esteem.
Yeah, he wanted someone who was going to, you know,
deliver the barbs.
Take the piss out of them the odd time.
Yeah, so I'll be curious to see if they ever get to that level. I don't think they will. I think what they've got with the NBA and TNT, to be quite frank, it's a fool's errand to try
asking them to recreate.
Because they just have great chemistry, and it's just something that happened. You can't build that out. You can just – but I understand –
Haven't most of the reviews, though, for the new programs like ESPN and TNT, haven't been largely positive?
Yeah, but it's more of like this is good. And I think that people had low expectations going in, let's be honest, right?
Okay, let's read some humanoids here.
Because remember, NBC didn't exactly NBC didn't exactly set the bar super high. People had a lot of critiques with that, right?
I think they just grew tired of it after a while.
That's true as well.
Doug from Salmon Arm, what we learned, I learned that Aaron Rodgers gave me another reason not to like him. Yeah, depending on, I guess, where you stand on all this. Mike and I talked about this early in the program. It's your right to not get vaccinated. What we didn't like was he misled. He intentionally misled. He was asked, are you vaccinated? And he said, yes, I'm immunized.
Own your decision.
Just own it.
Own it. Right? It's sneaky and it's underhanded to do what he did. Just put it in this context. What happens if it had nothing to do with vaccinations? What happens if it was another rule that was in place that he said he was agreeing to and adhering to, and then it turned out that he wasn't? Let's say he was doing steroids. Are you on steroids? He says, no. And then he fails a steroid test. If you're his teammate.
No, I'm on supplements.
You would say, well, it's not the most perfect analogy because he's never going to admit to it publicly. But the point stands is that if you do something like this and then the ramifications happen, consider what's going on now. He's going to miss a vitally important game during the middle of the season. There's no telling when he's going to be back. And he's put everyone else around him in a lousy situation. Matt LaFleur has to deal with this as his head coach.
Matt LaFleur was deer in the headlights yesterday.
And then what's he going to say? Aaron Jones, you brought it up, the running back. He was asked about it. And he's like, I don't want to deal with this.
He was asked directly, was this a selfish move by your star quarterback? What do you think Aaron Jones is going to say tonight? Yes, it was. It's a tough situation that he put people in.
Yep.
And it's because he was intentionally misleading the media when asked a very direct question.
Okay. Humanoids.
Chris, Richmond's community realtor texts in. I feel like did I just plug Chris?
Yeah, I feel like you just gave him a free plug.
Oh, he didn't say his last name.
The Robbie Johal's got to come through with a text now. He's got to fight back.
What I learned, Vegas is going to be terrible in 2 years.
I don't know about that.
Okay, remember when we would have this discussion about the San Jose Sharks and you were like, they're going to be fine, they're going to be fine, they're going to be fine.
Look at them now, they're great.
You can get old in a hurry in the NHL.
Yeah, look at the Canucks. after 2011.
Yeah, they got old in
they
a hurry.
They got old in a hurry. Yeah. Yeah. Eichel's only 25, right? So, I mean, if you're going to get – he's in his prime, assuming
the
his
rest
neck.
Of the team.
Assuming his neck gets back okay. The bigger
– hockey players are perishable assets.
Yeah.
So I feel like I'm going to go on an analogy that I'm probably going to regret.
Nah, go with it. It doesn't matter.
But, like, isn't the key – like, if you think of, like, a bunch of bananas, right, and how they're perishable, right?
What's a banana cost these days? $10?
Isn't the key to have, like, all your bananas just at the perfect ripening time at the same time, mm-hmm. right? So you can say, like, Jack Eichel is still young, right? So in 3 years, yeah, Jack Eichel is still young. But how does Pietrangelo look then? How does Alec Martinez look then? How does Pacioretty and Stone look then? And that's what happened. That's what happened in San Jose. It's like Carlson got old in a hurry. Even Brent Burns got old.
Mm-hmm.
Their whole defense got old.
Mark Edward Vlasic.
And then
Jones.
All of a sudden, you've got what you used to think of assets, and they turn into liabilities. You got the brown banana then.
Yeah, no, I don't. One, it's a decent analogy. A lot of banana talk. A
lot of banana talk.
But two, hey, this is fraught with risk, what they're doing. Because the traditional model, which is proven to keep you successful for a while, is don't whittle your prospect cupboard away to nothing. Keep replenishing. Keep replenishing. Keep replenishing.
It catches
also,
up with you.
Talking about catching up with you, Nick on the Drive sent this way earlier. I want to read it. What we learned, Vegas is garnering a reputation for taking care of their own, until they see a shiny new replacement. They sign players to long-term deals, often with players giving up some value given how they've been treated by the organization. Then they ship them off to wither elsewhere. This is a great point. Loyalty in Vegas is not a thing. Don't make a what happens in Vegas stays in Vegas joke. Right now, I would be super leery about committing to the Vegas Golden Knights if I was a player. For example.
Well, if you want to stay there, but
well,
you know,
if
you want to win.
You just brought up Pietrangelo. When Pietrangelo turns into a brown banana, to stick with it, is Vegas going to have any loyalty to him? The answer, I would say, is no.
Mm-hmm.
Because look what happened to Marc-Andre Fleury. Look what happened to Nate Schmidt. Look what happened to Alex Tuch.
In some ways, as a player, though, don't you want your organization to be like that if you want to win? Don't you want them to be ruthless?
You don't want to be the guy that's getting the ruthless treatment.
Eventually, you might be.
I don't think that what they did to a couple guys was inherently fair. I think the way they traded Nate Schmidt was kind of junk.
Why? They saw an upgrade, and they said, all right, we're going to try and bring in this guy because we like this more than this guy. Isn't that professional sports? Are we not trying to win here?
I don't think that you can sell someone a bill of goods where it's like, you're going to be part
of. How do you know that they sold him on?
They signed him to a 5-year deal.
So? So does he not, does he, is he not
he did
aware?
He held up his end of the bargain. He did a good job. He played well.
Is he not aware that trades occur in the NHL?
Yeah. But
is he not aware that he's joined an organization that has very high expectations?
But when it's the same...
If he was so worried about it, then he should have got all sorts of trade protection. Or he shouldn't have signed the contract.
But when you have the same organization doing it over and over and over again, I would say, I'm looking at a track record, and I can say, how can I put any trust in you, even if I sign a long-term
deal? There is a balance to be struck, sure.
Because now, look at it. I mean, Fleury, Schmidt, Tuck. It's like signing these deals doesn't really matter.
How do you think the Canucks felt about Louis Erickson still being on the team last season? Do you think they were going, wow, I love this organization. It's so loyal.
It was a loyalty.
It's
play.
So loyal.
Oh, loyal.
We just love the loyalty.
Loyal Louis.
As Jason once said.
This is not kumbaya.
That's true. This is a business. I mean, don't get me wrong. I understand that part of it. I just feel like if you do it time and time again, the next person, I mean, like Pietrangelo's a great one, right? Like I said, when he turns into the brown banana, is he gonna peel out of town?
There's a lot of banana talk.
A lot of banana talk.
Dunbar Lumber text line, Richard the Hay guy. Maybe you could freeze the rotten hockey players and make hockey player bread later on.
Well played. I was thinking about that. What do you do with an old banana?
You know what I was thinking about how that banana analogy came along was. I was actually thinking about JT Miller and the decision that the Canucks are going to have with JT Miller on whether or not to re-sign him.
Right.
And then you look back on the trade and you go, did the trade make the Canucks better? Yeah, absolutely. It was a good trade in that it made the Canucks better because JT Miller was a good player. But the question would be, to what end? To what end will that trade help the Canucks if they don't compete for a Stanley Cup while JT Miller is on the team? And then what? And then so how did it help you? If you never got, you gave up a first round draft pick to get JT Miller, and let's say the Canucks don't come close to competing for the Stanley Cup either this year or next year, and then you don't get anything tangible for JT Miller.
Mm-hmm.
Like, let's say he walks away in free agency, or they only get a fourth round draft pick for him or something along those lines. Let's say they don't get anything back for him.
Okay.
To what end have you done that deal?
So you're talking about looking at the deal in retrospect after it's done, if you don't get anything back and you haven't won, right? And then you're talking about grading it, or was it worth
it? No. You're just like, was the timing right for the trade?
Oh, okay.
I'm talking about the whole conversation.
No. I get what you're saying.
We want to have the goal of a management should be able to have the most, ripe bananas all at the same time. This is just coming back with the bananas.
I'm sorry,
probably a mistake.
I didn't know where you were going with this. I'm like, so Miller in 2 years will be a slightly browned banana. No, I get what you're saying.
No, the decision end was the trade. If you're going to give up a first round draft pick, if you're constantly giving up first round draft picks and you're giving up first round draft picks for Ekman-Larsson as well, at some point you have to compete for a Stanley Cup. Otherwise, you say, wow, maybe that wasn't the right deal. Even if those players turn into good players, does that make sense?
Remember when we said that we didn't have enough What We Learns? We've read two, and now it's we gotta go. Damn it!
Gwen Stefani loved.
We did it again. We did it again. I told you guys we get caught up on something, and we go with it. And today it was bananas.
Marcus from the Ridge. Wow, your thought process would paralyze you as a general manager.
Yeah.
I don't think it would.
We think too much.
I don't think it would. There's a time and place when you're in go for it mode, and I think you can honestly question whether the Canucks should have been in go for it mode, 2 years ago.
I will say this though: sometimes I think the key to being a successful general manager is to think less, it's to not overthink it. So just
Well, I don't think it's working for the Canucks.
Just do. Don't think. Singular, forward. Don't have a bunch of outside voices. Just make the moves, and make them good. That's the key part of all of this. Is you got to pick the good bananas.
Bananas.
If there's one takeaway from
how much
show,
is a banana?
$10-$11.
The official financial sponsor of Halford and Brough is ZLC Financial, your one-stop solution for all your financial and retirement needs in Vancouver. ZLC they know how to value a banana. They're in tax planning, financial planning, all sorts of banana taxes.
A lot of banana tax.
Employee benefits, wealth accumulation, wealth preservation. To learn more, visit ZLC.net. And remember, advice is only as good as the person you ask.
We got to get out of here. We will be back tomorrow. Signing off, I have been Mike Halford. He has been Jason Brough. He's been Nephew Dom. That's Gwen Stefani. This has been the Halford and Brough Show on Sportsnet 650.